did go to Copeland's meeting here on the 4th of July, and the first one that came up was Teflo Dollar. It took him a full hour to take the offering. He started out on an idea, and he kept building it up and building it up. But by the time he was, I would say, halfway through, the people were starting to bring money up and putting it on the pulpit.
Well, as you keep
it on the platform.
Yes, as you keep listening, Reg, we're going to hear him tell you exactly what he's doing it for. It's about money. But thank you for your call, Reg.
Okay. Well, the thing was that he had all those fine clothes on and all those, and he had those big words, and I felt sorry for the people because they were all so poor. They looked like they were homeless or, they're poor Pentecostal people, and so many of them are blind.
Yes, I understand that, and that's why I do what I do on the radio, especially to help the African-American brothers that seem to have lost their mind to a pimp. But thank you for your call, Reggie.
Okay.
God bless you. All right, we're going to continue. Now, listen, remember, he defined righteousness, biblical righteousness, as rights with God. And nowhere in the Bible does it teach that at all. Let's go to the next clip. Continue to listen.
What Gloria was talking about in her session, we're going to have to release a spirit of faith. We're going to have to do this today. And in this session, we're going to deal with something, dealing with the equality that we have with God. Now, before I start, I want you to say a couple of things, and just you do a little check on yourself. Say this out loud. Say, I'm just like God. And it seems some of you didn't say that because you got a problem with that. That just freaked you out that I would even request for you to say something like that. Well, let's try something else. Say this. Say, I'm just like Jesus. It got a little better. But in this room, there's this image dilemma, this image crisis that we're going to have to clear up. You got to know exactly who you are. You've got to know your pedigree, and you got to know where you come from in order for you to exercise the rights that have been given to you through the Word of God.
Now, we're going to pause it right there, and we're going to, just analyze some of the statements that he was talking about here. He was talking about releasing the Spirit, and then he says that we have to do that. One of the first questions that you have to ask is, what spirit? There are two kinds of spirits in meetings all the time. There's a devilish demonic spirit that takes over people's minds and leads them down the primrose lane, total debauchery and foolishness. And so he says that there is a great necessity to release his spirit. This is not the Spirit of God, because everything that he's saying is anti-biblical. And then he brings in that phrase again, this equality with God. And throughout this entire message, he keeps harping on this equality with God, because what he does is he lessens who the God of the Bible is, and then what he does is he resurrects human nature, which is fallen, totally corrupt and debauched, into something that is just as equal or, in many cases, superior to God. And you must know that the people on Channel 40, Paul and Jan Crouch, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, which you're going to hear him mention, Copeland, in a few moments, they all believe this stuff. This is some of the spurious teachings of Word, Faith, Doctrine, Science of Mind, as a matter of fact, Mormonism. When you listen to Creflo Dollar, you're listening to the African-American mode of Mormonism. This is all it is. And then he says about this image dilemma. Well, the Christian has a biblical image of God, and the biblical image comes from a biblical understanding. There's a great book that I have in my library written by Walter Kaiser called Towards an Exegetical Theology. In the preface of the book, he says that Scripture is the foundation of the church. The church is the guardian of Scripture. When the church is strong in health, the light of the Scripture shines bright. But when the church is sick, and these are my words now, as I believe it is today, has become sick through this polluted man and men like this, Kaiser goes on and says, Scripture is corroded by neglect, and thus it happens that the outward form of Scripture and that of the church usually seem to exhibit simultaneously either health or else sickness. And as a rule, the way in which Scripture is being treated is the exact correspondence with the condition of the church. Quote, unquote, Walter Kaiser Jr. from his text Towards an Exegetical Theology, Biblical Exegesis for Preaching and Teaching. But you want to hear what Word, Faith, Preaching and Teaching is? Let's continue to listen to the bites.
The righteousness of God, having equality with God. That equality that we have has been given to us by God. Let's start in Genesis chapter 1. And folks, I'm really wanting you to get a thing. I'm kind of intense. If I sound like I'm a little aggressive, that's all right. I'm aggressively trying to get you delivered this afternoon. Amen. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It's time for you to get your money, too.
And you're... Well, I think you guys heard that big. You see, listen, you got to get your deliverance, but you know what the people were there for, and it's time for you to get your money too. Now, what he's getting ready to do, and I'll give you the scripture verse before we continue with that, is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. You know, they all go there. You know what they do is they use a Bible as a pretext. And see, that's why you think that they're men of God. Well, he's quoting scripture, isn't he? But if you're the ignoramus that you are and don't know your Bible, because you've never studied, and I'm not trying to, you know, crack on you. I'm just saying you're ignorant. You don't know what the Bible teaches. You go to church every week and you hear some clown get up there and jump up and down and take you through shenanigans, and you think you've heard the word of God. You are completely out of your mind, just like this idiot is completely out of his. And you know what? He's going to hell. Yes, he's going to hell. All right, wait, y'all don't believe me. Y'all tripping. Stop tripping. I'm going to keep playing this Joker's clips. Listen to this.
You're not going to get your money if you don't know who you are.
Oh.
You ready? Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at verse 26 through 27. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Well, now, there's where he gets his text, that you are like God. Now, any of us that have studied the Bible know that this is just a description. And then when God says image, he is not talking like his own manifestations. When he says image, and I teach it in basics of the faith. He created man with an intellect and a will, all right? He's given man discernment. He's given us those kinds of human characteristics. And with this will and this intellect, we are like God in that sense, like God in that sense, not as God in that sense, because God is not thinking with a human intellect and will. We are the created, he is the infinite. We are the finite creatures. He is the infinite creature. He is the one that created us. We don't create him, as New Age teaches. Now let's continue to listen to Creflo.
Verse 26 said, and God said. I mean, I'm not telling you for the first time that you're like God. I just read it to you. And God said, let us make man in our image. Let's make a man that will resemble us.
Now, that is not what God was saying. You see, but Creflo read it out of the Bible, and so many of you that listen to Creflo, you say, yeah, well, that's what it says. I just read it in my Bible. He added that, let us make man that will resemble us. Well, you know, I'm not going to ask you to call and to tell me what form or shape has God taken, because Jesus has already told us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what is this image that he's talking about? Now, Creflo isn't talking about a physical image. He's talking about another kind of image, but he carries it further as he continues. Let's continue to listen to the dialogue. Let's go.
Let's make a man in our image. You know, if you look in the mirror, you see a reflection. And if God were to look in the mirror and that reflection in the mirror, he would say, let's make that.
Now, let me tell you something. God is a spirit. Didn't I just tell you that? So if God, as a spirit, would look in the mirror, what would he see? He would see nothing. He wouldn't say, let's say that. But you see, you missed that because you're so impressed by his diamonds and his broad grin and his shenanigans and the sound system and all the people shouting around you and the air conditioning, keeping you cool when you feel hot on your forehead. If God is a spirit, God isn't a body. God ain't no man. But I know what the word faith is teach, that he's 60 feet high and he got a you know, hand spread of 20 inches and all that kind of foolishness. You people are completely out of your minds. And if you knew anything about a biblical text and about biblical exegesis, you would ask yourself, what am I doing sitting there listening to this bozo clown taking all my money? And you've made him a billionaire and he's laughing in your face and you'll never get it because you've been suckered to believe this. Now, I'm just giving it to you in the real and in the raw, because see, some of you are happy when Creflo comes to Los Angeles. That I mean, I feel like I want to vomit, but let's continue to listen to this and see how this guy takes it further.
We've been made to resemble God.
Now, let me pause right there. No, we have not, Creflo. No, we have not. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity altogether. And becoming a Christian doesn't make you like God in that sense. Then we're talking about his communicable attributes here. And when you get that all mixed up, you are thoroughly mixed up in your mind. But you're not convinced because you love Creflo. Wait a minute. You said, oh, wait a minute, black man. You talking about another black man. Don't you love the brothers? Oh, I love Creflo. I would love the fact if he would repent so he wouldn't bust tail wide open. But he's only with his hell with this hellish, demonic heresy that he is teaching. But let's continue to listen to the brother.
In fact, we have been made to be God's reflection here on this planet.
Now he wants me to believe that when I look in the mirror, when I shave my ugly face, that I'm seeing a literal reflection of God. I am God. Man, I can claim houses. I can claim cars. I can claim wives. I can claim health. I can claim money. You see what he's done? And you know what? When you're totally debauched and your nature is all is screwed because you have never even heard of the precious Holy Spirit and him illuminating your mind, you begin to think that way. Yo, well, I am somebody. Well, I is somebody. I mean, it got, yeah, he got to be God's man. Look at what he has. Man, you need to read Matthew chapter 4 and see what Satan said to Jesus. Satan said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus just looked at him and said, man lives by the word alone. You see what I mean? And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Why aren't you people telling Creflo to get out of town? Every time he comes to the, now he's going to be coming to Kenny's church or to Blake's church. You know, because they have more African-American fools attending that. And man, if you can get 5 or 10,000 of them in one place and get them jumping and get a good, you know, bumping band going, you can get anything you want, but let's continue to play because you're not convinced yet.
Now, here he justifies why he called them gods. He said, ye are gods because you're children. You come from God. Stop. Says, you are little G's because you're my children. Now, you're not God. Everybody know that. You got to be stupid enough. You're not God. Can't nobody be the Most High God. He is the Most High God. Satan wants to be the Most High God, but he is the Most High God. That's why we've been made a little lower. Little G. Turn to your neighbor and say, hello, little G. Come on, turn to your side and say, hello, little G.
Now, let me tell you where he's quoting from, because you see, the idiot goes into the idiot extraordinaire. He goes into the Old Testament because he believes that you're a buffoon because you don't know anything about the New Testament. So he takes you to Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. And Psalm chapter 82, verse 6 reads like this. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. So he's taking that and he's going to use that one against John chapter 10. Verse 34 and 35, you see. And so he's trying to use hermeneutics and biblical exegesis here, but it's the way he does his exegesis. Now, since he takes that, let me give you what that says in essence. When you look at the prefix in this, the participle of that Hebrew word, kiloim, he didn't say that you are like God in that sense. It means like God. In other words, you are my representatives. What was happening in Israel is that the judges, the religious leaders, had done what many of our religious leaders have done today. They had copped out. Instead of operating under the authority that God had given them to lead the people in the right way, that God had given them this human authority over other individuals. They had breached that authority, and basically the psalmist was saying that God had given you that kind of clothing and power and authority to dispense judgment and justice. Therefore, all of them were said to be children of the Most High. In other words, I have given you my name and my power to rule your people in my stead. See, not only them, but some of the rulers of Israel, and possibly over even nations. Children, in this verse, represents my person and bearing both my name and authority. It meant nothing that these individuals were like in nature like God. Another commentator put it this way: because I said you are gods, you have carried the honor further than was intended and have imagined yourselves to be the children of the Most High. And so you see, the psalmist is looking at what human beings do improperly when God has given them authority. The greatest honor that was put before them was that they were delegated this authority. They were delegated gods, that small G-O-D-S, clothed for a while with the little of that authority by which the Lord judges amongst the sons of men. In other words, I'd like to give it to you this way. This was the ex officio character that God had given them, not their moral or spiritual relationship, which Creflo is trying to impinge. Let's listen to more of Creflo, and then you can hear how he tries to put this over on you.
Whoo! Man, Brother Copeland caught it the first time he preached this. Ooh, heresy! Blasphemy! We're crazy.
That man trying to tell them people they're God.
You see, he agreed. He says, I am that. I am that.